Good morning, and a hearty welcome to you this morning as we have a new way of reaching out to one another, and it's certainly a joy to be here, and I want to thank you for joining us this morning. My name is Jeff Hildebrand, and this morning's topic I have chosen is on spreading God's Word. So before we do that, let's unite our hearts in an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace this morning, we thank you again for this opportunity to tune in and listen in into your word. And Father, as we do that, we ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word, that it would be a blessing to all of us, and that we would be strengthened and renewed, and that we would go forth, and that we would preach and share the word of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we also pray for all those that are shut in at care homes and they can't see their family and their friends. Lord, that you would be with them and strengthen them. And Father, we also ask that you would be with our nation. Father, that we would repent of our sin and that you would heal our land. So as we look into your word this morning, we ask for your leading, your guiding. We ask for your presence by the way of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for this opportunity to get together in this fashion. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. I'd like to greet you with the words that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where it says, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ." So even at times of difficulty and challenge, we know that the Lord is with us, and we should be encouraged by this. So this morning, as we look at spreading God's word, I want to take a few minutes to illustrate to you what Christ has shown us, what Paul teaches us, and I'm hoping that we will be rejuvenated and we will be blessed. So for those of you that have your Bibles available to you, I hope you do, let's turn to the book of Mark chapter 4. And I want to read verses 1 to 9. So that's Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. "And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and he sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them, in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on the stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And the other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, and sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And as I was trying to decipher this passage of scripture, a thought came into my mind. Here we have a sower, and if you would look at maybe other words for a sower here, we could call this individual a farmer. And here this sower or this farmer goes out and he sows his seed. And way back when they were sowing their seed, they would usually have a bag beside them full of seed, and they would toss it out. And as they did this, this sower, all he did was he went out and he sowed. Where all the seed landed, it landed. But the important message, I think, here is that we go out and we sow the seed. Yes, we know that some will get devoured up by the fowls of the air, so to speak. Some will be left on stony ground, and some will fall among the thorns, and they will all be choked out. But having said that, there's also, as we just read, some lands on good soil. So what I want to encourage us with this morning is that we just simply go out and we sow the word. Let's not be afraid where it lands, but let's go and sow the seed so that we are the individuals, we are the people of God that spread God's word. And that's what he has empowered us to do. He has given us this authority to go ahead and to sow the seed. So we should be encouraged with that, and I hope that that is something that we take to heart. With so many things going on in the world, it doesn't mean that we have to give up on sowing the seed. Further, we read in the same chapter, and I want to go from verse 13 to verse 20, says the following. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? So Jesus is questioning the people that are listening. The sower soweth the word. So that's our duty. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So here we see what can happen. So people are exposed to the word, and Satan will attack. And he is constantly on the attack, so we must be mindful of that. And we know that some people will fall to that. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. So here's another example of people who get to hear the word, and they are excited about it. And I'm sure we've come across a lot of people like that. And verse 17 also says, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So let's take note of that verse. So what happens? At some point, after they've received the word, when persecution arises or affliction of some sort, because of the word of God, they become offended and they immediately stumble. Verse 18 goes on to say, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So we have to be wary of that as well. The word gets into them, they receive it, and yet they get caught up maybe in their old way, and they go backwards, and they fall back into caring more about things about this world. So there's a danger in that, so we have to be very careful. So this comes into play then. We need to be helping others through these kinds of battles. Verse 20 goes on to say, and these are they which are sown on the good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So which people are we? Are we the people that hear the word and we are firm in the word, and then we are going to go out and teach the world? Or do we fall into one of the other three categories that was talked about, where we just can't seem to hold on to the word? Through trials and tribulations, there's often questions and uncertainty. And we need to be reminded and be mindful that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And we need to be mindful that we should be following his teaching. There are many opinions out there. There's many opportunities you can listen to things about what's going on, and we can be drawn away. What I want to encourage you with is that you get into the scripture, that you get into the word of God, and that you stay in the word of God. And God will direct us already. We need to, we need to come to that point of absolute trust. And I think sometimes we struggle as people. We struggle with that absolute trust that we need. Now, Paul goes on to teach on some of this as well. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And he gives us some examples of what we're supposed to be doing. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 20. Here's what Paul teaches. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever following that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. So as we go through that, we break this down a little bit. Here Paul is telling us that we as laborers, we are needed. God uses people to get the message out. So we are needed. Laborers are needed. There is, we need people out there. And those people that are working, it says they are supposed to be. In verse 13, it says, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. So we're supposed to love those people that are doing this work. And let's be at peace with one another. Let's help each other. As it says in the next verse, it tells us that we're supposed to warn them that are unruly. So that's part of our job. Comfort the feeble-minded. So I think what that is telling us is the people that are not maybe well-grounded, that we are supposed to comfort them and encourage them. Support the weak and be patient toward all men. And I think sometimes we struggle with being patient. And so this is something that Paul is teaching us to do. We are supposed to be patient. Just because somebody isn't, say, at the same degree of knowledge that we are at doesn't mean they're less important to the kingdom. We just need to encourage them, lift them up, and help them to be good stewards of God's word. So this is something Paul teaches us here to the Thessalonian church. And he also teaches in the book of 1 Timothy. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Here he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. So it seems to me it's very easy to pray for the people that we love and that are doing the things right for the Lord. It seems like that's pretty simple. But it says we're supposed to pray for all men. And if we want God to heal our land, look at what verse 2 teaches us. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. We are supposed to be praying for our government. And I don't know about you, but my wife and I have made a commitment to pray for our government every single night. And we've also made a commitment to pray for the healing of our land every single night. And that is something that we deeply desire, that the leadership of the world would come to know Christ. Verse 3 teaches us, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So this pleases God when we pray for our leaders. And I would have to say, I think most people would agree that they need our prayers. They need help with what's going on in this world. Verse 4 goes on to say, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? Well, if we take a look at that, and you look at, you know, I love history, but, you know, you look at some historical events and some people that did some very evil things in this world, and you kind of shake your head and you wonder how and why would they do such things? Well, they are controlled by the evil spirit. But we are supposed to be praying for them, and God wants each person to come to him. That's what he desires. So if we as believers aren't praying for the lost in this world, we're not fully doing what God is commanding us. This is a great responsibility that we have. And I hope we don't take this too lightly. I think it's a very serious matter. Verse 5 goes on to say, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We're not to doubt. How many of us at this particular time in history have a lot of doubts? We are supposed to be going to God with confidence, and we can trust God is working and that God is in absolute control of what's going on. We can have that confidence. So let's not get upset and be angry. It says we're supposed to do this without wrath. Well, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in, let's call them, hot topics of the day. And we get caught up in these things. And when we have an opinion on something, sometimes we express it very, very strongly. And we become angry and bitter. And God does not want us to do that. So let's make sure when we're trying to draw people, that when we're drawing them in a way that Christ would. He spoke the truth. He did not deviate from speaking the truth. He loved people. So let's use that as an example. Let's love people and let's speak the truth. And sometimes when we speak the truth, people will be offended because they don't agree. But as long as we are speaking scriptural truth, we should not have any fear. And so I hope that comforts you. And one of the passages of scripture that I think is very familiar to us is the Great Commission that we find in Matthew chapter 28. And it's the last three verses, so 18, 19, and 20. And the Great Commission teaches us, and this is what Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So now he's talking to the church, to the believers. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What a promise we are given. When Jesus tells us this, that he is with us, how much more reassurance do we need? We cannot depend on riches. We cannot depend on people that are maybe in a position of authority that have fallen away from God. We can depend on God's word. We can depend on what Jesus teaches us and what the Bible teaches us. We need to be good stewards of this, and we need to be good stewards of the word. There are so many illustrations that we could go to where the Bible teaches us exactly what we need to do for exact, precise moments in time. And look at the time we are in now. At this time in history, it's actually quite an incredible time. There are so many signs that are pointing to the return of Christ. And we know that at some point Christ will return. We do not know the day. We do not know the hour. And that's not for us to know. What is for us to know is that we continue to do the work of the Lord until we are called home. You know, sometimes people say, maybe they've taught or they've, been in the church service. They've been serving the church for 50 years. And they're in their 70s, some maybe 80s. And they say, what more can I give? What more can I do? Well, I was called on Friday night of our church members in our church in our village. And one of the members there called and said his dad had passed away. His dad was 97. And until his last few days, he always demonstrated his love for the Lord. So that's what we can continue to do. As long as we have breath in our lungs, we can continue to show that we love the Lord. And maybe in situations where people are in the hospitals, maybe that hospital staff and they get to see this. And it's such a great testimony. So share your testimony with others. Share your story on how you came to know Christ. And I can guarantee you came to know Christ because someone shared the Word of God with you. Someone spread the Word of God to you. And so you got to know Christ. And this is our call. This is our duty, that we spread God's Word. In Psalms 121, there are 8 verses I'd like to share with you. It's the entire chapter. And it's in my Bible, it's subtitled, God is our Keeper. And so as we go through this, ask yourself some questions while we're going through this. Is this what I do? Is this who I am? So ask those questions. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence come my help. So will you lift up your eyes, and will you focus on God? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Do you have full confidence in that? Do you truly believe that? Verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth me will not slumber. So God is watching over us 24/7. What a passage of assurance. Verse 4, behold, He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. His beloved nation, his beloved people, he is going to be watching over them. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Is the Lord your keeper? Do you trust in him? Verse 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor thy moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So do we believe that God is going to preserve us from evil? That doesn't mean we're not going to lose our life. That doesn't mean that there is going to be challenges and trials in life. There is going to be all of that. But most importantly, he is going to give us the ability to persevere our souls. And that is, we have to remain steadfast and true in Christ Jesus. And that is the only way. And sometimes, because we're not rooted and grounded, or the sun has withered us and dried us up, as we looked in that parable earlier in the book of Mark, and we have those three analogies, how people fell away from God. If that describes you, get back into the Word. Get back into the good soil and seek God's face, that you may be, you know, that you may be ready to fight these fights in a good way, that you will put on the armor of God, and that you will have a passion and a desire for God, that you will continually seek his face, and that he will strengthen and guide you. When we are faced with challenges and difficulties, it's easy to get caught up in self-pity. In fact, the world today says, or they call it, I guess, is depression. Depression is going rampant. And we have to be so careful that we don't become depressed. And the best way I can see to avoiding depression is getting into the Word of God. So, as I have gone through some personal challenges in this last little while, I've kind of lost most of my hearing. And if I dwell on the fact that I can basically not hear, that could drag me down. So the other day I sat down and I grabbed my Bible and I started reading, and I was so encouraged. And I was reminded, you know, when Paul prayed that he had some issues, he prayed that God would take care of them. And God says, my grace is sufficient. Again, God looks after all of us. I want you to invite him into your life. If you have, like I said earlier, if you have slipped, if you have fallen, maybe you've totally abandoned God, today's the day to come back. We do not know what tomorrow brings, so I want to encourage you, please come back to God. Let him touch your life, and let him touch your heart, and may you be a good soldier for our Lord Jesus Christ, and may much be accomplished by the work we do for the Lord. May he empower you and give you peace as you work for him. Now, before I close in prayer, Brother Cal gave me a message this morning for an application for membership, and I'll read it as it has been presented to me. So, the name of the individual is Henry Lowen Sawatsky, in New Bothwell, and his address is Low Farm, Manitoba. has applied for membership in the Somerfelt Mennonite Church. He has been visited by Reverend Cal Hebert, who recommended his acceptance. If anyone has a valid reason to oppose this request for membership, then please contact your local ministerial. And with that, I would also say, let's make sure that we, as a praying people, pray for Henry. At this time, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we conclude this morning's service, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power you've given us as a people, as a body of believers. Lord, give us strength and wisdom and discernment so that we will know and we will seek the truth. And Lord, that when we go out, we will be able to, with confidence, go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Empower us and strengthen us. I know some of us struggle with this. So help us and give us that strength and that determination that we all need. So we also want to bring to you Henry Swatsky this morning, as he is going to join this church family, that he would be welcomed and that he would be encouraged. So Father, we thank you for all those that could listen this morning, and we pray a blessing on each one of them. May you be with them, and may you be with us all. We pray this all in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. And at this time, I'd like to conclude with the benediction that we find in the book of Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Amen.